A very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Business and Economic segment. My name is Kanjeng Kamekulung Konyoka, and this is our Monday to Friday edition. It is in a different format than what we do daily, because daily we encourage conversation and engagement between ourselves, or we facilitate the conversation with the public where they come and give their views and their opinions and their suggestion on how we can go forward. And we encourage more of a correction and solution-oriented conversation, not just nagging and complaining, but we encourage a conversation that brings solutions and suggestions and change the narrative or change the way we talk about economic entrepreneurship, investment, and risk in our country. We look at the sectoral development, we look at what we can do at the different sectors, and the main aim is to facilitate a conversation that can get us forward, that can make us do better, that can make us think differently, or approach certain economic issues and sectoral stuckness with a different mindset and different view. More importantly, domesticating some of our solutions or getting some of our solution from ourselves or within ourselves. But in the business and economic segment, for these days, we have been taking an approach of a lecture hall where I present my suggestions and my views and my theory in certain matters and certain economic matters. And the main aim is not because Kanchengo is a better economist or Kanchengo is a better observer. It's just to say there come some of suggestions, or there go some of the suggestions and views and observations that have been made, because some of you are busy people. Some of you don't have these aerial view of the economy or certain sectoral, and some of us get such a privilege to read the statistic almost a daily basis and the report of every sector. Thus, we give this 1 hour such a different approach, where we give this sort of lecture and sort of observation and or hypothesis just for you to give your views. Once you hear them, to contradict it, to say they are true, to say they are not, and to make them better or to polish them. So we can say we apologize, or we do not apologize for this 1 hour. It's just an approach that we took just to blend with other daily engagement that we do. So then for today, we are going to talk about something so critical, and I will either get it to be liked or not to be liked, or to be criticized, or to be considered as not person who understand economic building and things like that. But I think, and I'm going to have a two session on this one. Colleagues, I want us to interrogate foreign direct investment. And is there a choice between foreign direct investment and the people? Like, there is a question that we need to give to ask ourselves. Are we building an economy that benefit the foreign investors or ourselves? And does our economic building process or journey require only foreign direct investment, not domestic direct investment? Let us ask ourselves this question. Let us sit down. Why only do we seek foreign direct investment and not unlock domestic direct investment? Why in our political commenting, in our political aspiration and leadership and policy making, we are making laws and policies just to fit foreign direct investment? Why it seems like there is a substitution between foreign direct investors and domestic people? Why does it seem like the foreign investors are more important than the local people, than the African people? We need to sit down and ask ourselves this question. Because I've been following the South African coalition conversation. And every time somebody say EFF or MK, then everybody say, no, the investors will run, the investors will go. And I keep wondering, colleagues, what is so important about foreign investors? Are you saying that the whole South African economy is just built by foreign investors? Are you saying that if they leave, the South African are going to collapse? They are going to, you know. Are you saying that they are unable to pick up themselves and build and regain their resources? Because we are so contradictory to ourselves. We want to take over the economy. We want to have a bigger ownership as black people, as African. Then all of a sudden we are crying if the foreign investors leave. Why don't we say, okay, cool, let them leave and we take over the resources we wish. And that's why now, when Namibian election are going to come, I want us to be careful on the type of sorrow statement, especially the political analyst and the one that are more oriented to the Western world. Do not blackmail the Namibian people with this narrative. The investor will leave, the investor will not come. Colleagues, the investors don't come because they like us. They are coming because Africa offers them something. Aren't these the same people who are operating in DRC, whether there is war or not? Aren't these the same people that are getting oil from Libya, Sudan, even when there is war and the kids being killed every day? Aren't these the same people? And you are worried that they will leave if a certain party comes in power. I think our political commentators need some beating or need some wake-up call. Stop blackmailing African people about the foreign investment. They will leave. These are the same people operating in the war-torn DRC. These are the same people operating in Sudan and Libya where there is war. But every time MK is mentioned, EFF is mentioned, the investors who leave South Africa, the investors who leave South Africa, you cannot. No, man, it's starting to be shallow. And if you're an educated fella, as you call yourself, if you're an educated, if you're academia, then you know there is no literature that says the investors will go. Because the investor were never here on a good faith in the first place. They came here for self-interest, rationality, to get resources, and that is it. And that's why now we need to develop certain literature that ask this question, that why are we so obsessed with the foreign investment? Are we obsessed because that is the narrative and the theory that exists? Or is because we never, ever took a time just to say that the BH, how much money can you put in on Godiva? Like, have we ever sat down and as such, like in small town, go in the small town, go in on Godiva and see that which one was the biggest something that was built? It was Benny's Park, right? Was it the foreign investment? In your village where you are from, I want you to go back to Valgras where you are from, to Bethany where you are from. Look in your village. Can you find a foreign investor there? Then what is wrong with you and your obsession with foreign investment? Look back to your village. You grew up in a village. You are 25. You are 50 years old and 60 years old. As a politician, as a political commentator in academia, before you went to the investor, what did you eat? Which medication did you use for you to grow up to become a political analyst at the University of Namibia, at Polytechnic or wherever? What did you eat from your village? Can you find a foreign investor? Did they produce food for you? Did they produce medication for you? The things you are wearing, were they made by a foreign investor? Man, colleagues. Then what about with this you educated people? And I'm saying you educated people and your obsession with foreign investment. When you came from a village where the village made you, the village fed you, without an assistance from anybody from the Western world, but all of a sudden that our economic building need everything that they have. What happened to ourselves? What happened to us? What happened to us, man? Like, I'm wondering, how come now all of a sudden our economic building, Our forest management, our animals management, everything need somebody from Europe, need somebody from America to manage it. And it's not an attack on the American. No, it's not an attack on the Western or European. No, this is an attack on my brothers and sisters with your obsession. No, our rhino cannot be protected by it. It's annoying. And I challenge anybody at the academic level with your 20 PhD and whatever your political academic. Where in the literature they say Africa was made, Africa can only be made by the Western driven type of economic agenda. Where? All of a sudden, no, they're FDI. And we are even building institutions that says, bring your proposal so we take them to Europe or to take them to foreign investors. Guys, what are we doing to ourselves? Where is the DDI? Where is the domestic direct investment? I live in Okanjegedi, I'm from Okanjegedi, where I didn't see any foreign investor investing in my Okanjegedi. The man who I saw who brought as a supermarket is a black man like me. A vendor, he started as a vendor. He brought us everything. All my municipality brought for me is one street light, one big light. The rest of that man brought for us. And I'm asking this question, like, if there are these men who are investing in my locality, in my small town, in my villages, why are we not talking about them? That we need more domestic direct investment. And why are we being held hostage by the foreign investors? If we come out with the police, then you see the guys from other research and blah, blah. Yeah, that will distract the investment. Guys, investment doesn't care about your laws and policies. They don't care. They want copper, they want gold, and they have no option. It's not optional. They want minerals to go drive the economy. They are not coming to invest, they are coming to extract. And it's a known fact. And it's not a bad thing. And I'm saying as an individual, who, yes, I'm open-minded. It's not bad for Canada to come and look for gold in Namibia. It's not. They should come because they are smart enough and they have the capital. They should come. We let them. Our economy is open. I'm not against China coming. I'm not against anybody coming. I'm against my brother and my sisters who are so narrow-minded, and I'm saying this, to believe that China, Canada, Russia, France, America are coming on their goodwill to take gold from us because they love us. And it's not, and they are calling it even an investment. Okay, okay. No, guys, no, stop it, please. Canada is not coming on their goodwill. Oh my God, Namibia. No, we have gold. We have copper. We have uranium. It's not a goodwill, a good gesture for them to come. So stop linking it to anything that you have. No, it's your policies. It's not our policies. It's not our policies. They will be here regardless. If they are, if they in DRC, Sudan and Libya, where there is war, and you are saying they will not come if you change your laws. And it's so pathetic, so many people that they call themselves educated and woke and academy orientated are the one driving such a narrative. FDI. What happened to domestic direct investment? What happened to ourselves? The village that brought you up did not do it with assistance from any foreign investor. They did it themselves and they are still capable. It's pathetic. It's economically pathetic. So I do not want to hear this, that if LPM come on power, the foreign direct will not come. If IPC come on power, the foreign investors will not come. If Nyudo come on power, the foreign investor will not come. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Since when? They are not coming because of a political power. They are coming for the resources that you have. Because you are blind, you are not doing anything. You are not innovating. You are not mobilizing capital to do it yourself. That's why they are coming. Not because of a political power which is on power. Not because of an individual. No, that person is too radical. That person is an activist. He will drive away investors. Where will they go? Who else in Africa have the best reserve of uranium? Apart from Niger and us, Where will they go? Ask yourself that. And be smart enough to make a policy that take care of your people, that put your people first. Then people who are coming for their self-interest. If your police are putting the self-interest of foreign investors and undermining your interest of your people, then you are not capable even to make a comment on the public, on public arena. Because what I'm hearing from the South African commentators is very embarrassing. That EFF, AMK, if ANC this, the foreigners will go. Let them go. Which country in the world is platinum and gold like South Africa? Which country is the best agriculture and the world developed financial system? Where will they go living in Cape Town? Where will they go? Ask yourself that and stop blackmailing African people on that. Don't hate on the Chinese. Don't hate on the Canadian. Don't hate on the Russian. Don't hate on the British. No. They are taking care of their self-interest. And I respect them and I appreciate them. That is the economy we agree to, right? But don't say they will not come because of the law that you have in place. Let them not come. Let the resources be on the ground and our kids that are going to be smarter than us take them. Let your people, let you empower your people and start innovating and coming up with the technology. What happened to your brain? You say you're educated, right? Isn't? Some of the people that are building this big industry are the same university as you. Most of you went to school in America. Most of you went to school in Britain. Then how come you are so inferior compared to them? You want them to come do what they have been taught, what you have been taught also. It's embarrassing. It's totally embarrassing. And I do not want us to give any of these commentators or these researchers any public platform to come and shame us like that. I'm tired of this narrative. The foreign investors, the foreign investor that, the foreign investor that. When are we going to say the Namibian this and the Namibian that? When are we going to say the South African this? When are we going to put the Zambian first? When are we going to put the Zimbabwean at first? When are we going to put us, ourselves, first? Beautiful people. When? When are we going to put our domestic investors first? When? The people who are building tax shop within our localities. The people that are making shoes, the people that are making cakes, the people that are making t-shirts, the people that are putting the small capital to start enterprises in Namibia. When are we going to put them first? When are we going to prioritize them? Because that is what will lead them to grow. That is what will lead them to grow. Beautiful people. It's pathetic. We should not give any more platform to these people to talk. Because they're influencing our narrow-minded politician. So all of a sudden now the politicians are just making laws and policies that are going to support foreign investment. When are we going to make laws that support and unlock domestic investment? When are we going to make laws and policies that celebrate local entrepreneurs and local innovators and local researchers? When? No, no, no. We are promoting foreign investment. What is there to promote? They will come when they hear that you have the resources. When are you promoting local investors? When are you taking care of them? When? It's embarrassing to the highest level, our core mandate of our parliament and lawmaking bodies are written FDI all over the place. When are we going to write domestic direct investment? Bank of Namibia, you are my friend in this. You are going all over constituencies doing a presentation. Are you now going to the villages and telling them to attract foreign investment for their village to develop? Is that what you are telling the Kavango people? Is that what you are telling the Zambezi people? That, okay, I invite people to come and cultivate your field. Is that what you're telling the Mangete people? That, no, invite somebody from Dubai to come and look after your cattle. What type of coward are we, colleagues? Economically coward. So you are coming to my village, and the best you can tell me is that I write a proposal so we take it to foreign investors so they come and give you money to raise more cattle. What type of coward are we? I've been looking after cattle since I was born. And the best thing you can come and tell me is that I should write a proposal to so you take it to Canada, so you come get somebody to come and when my G. Instead of saying that, can we mobilize capital and we build an FMD research center in Omanget? We ourselves, with the assistance of UNAM, with the assistance of IUM. But all you can do, we have the audacity to come to my region and tell me we should make places for foreign direct investment. We should be open to investors from away. No, instead of you calling all the brothers and sisters from the region, who has capital, who has some money saved up, who is about to retire, can we utilize your capital to build an FMD center, to build a shoemaking factory in Oshakati? Who has what? We want to build a destination in Hobabis. Who has some small capital? Where is the angel investors in Hibion? Because we want to build a solar park here. You cannot have such a confidence and come to my region and come to my town. And you are telling me to give up my land, my agricultural land, to somebody to come do what I've been, my generation, my ancestors have been doing. Instead of saying, can we empower you with education, with capacity building? Can we import technology and teach you? You are now telling me that somebody from Dubai can come and do it for you, and you become his generational worker. What happened to you educated people? What is wrong with you? This is how we are giving up Africa. Is that the education you got to come and tell your fellow Africans to give up working so that somebody from Qatar, so that somebody from Canada can come and do it for them and they become generational workers like our forefathers again? When? Beautiful people. What happened to our educated colleagues? You political commentators in academia, or is it because of the books that you are reading? And all of a sudden, the coalition that have majority of black people is better for investors. Which investors? Are the black investors not regarded? Are they not important? Beautiful people. It's pathetic and it's annoying and it's embarrassing for you as an educated person, and you are belittling your fellow Africans. Man, it's embarrassing. I don't want to listen to you. I don't even want to sit next to you. And if I have a radio, a newspaper, I don't think I'm going to give you any space for you to come and insult the fellow Africans like that. No. And I don't want any media in Africa to give you a chance even to talk and tell people that the investors will go. Which investor? The guy operating in DRC where there is war, in Sudan, in Libya, wherever there is war, in Ethiopia, they are there. You should sit down and come and challenge me. I'll give you free time on this program. Many of you commentators, come, I will give you free platform to respond to what I'm saying today and tell me that the investors are really here because our policies and laws are nice. No, they want gold. They want your fish in the ocean. They will not go anywhere because there is no better Benguela current in any other ocean, only in us, in our Atlantic. There is nothing like that, bro. The Australians are here not because our laws are good. They are here because they want what we have. It's a fact. Come and challenge me on it. Come. They are not here because of a goodwill. Yes, it's a factor, but not a dead breaker. A deal breaker. So stop parading and blackmailing Africans and Namibians based on their laws. If Namibians and South Africans are going to form a coalition that benefit them, let us celebrate them. Let us embrace them. If they are going to form laws that support local investors and local entrepreneurs, isn't that what we want? Because the economic share that we look for, the empowerment and the redistribution, will only come through if the local investors and local entrepreneurs are empowered and celebrated. And we should be parading it around in our commentaries, not the other way around. I think if the narrative of the educated fellows go unchallenged, and I'm challenging not only the political commentators, I know the economic commentators from different institutions in Namibia, who also drive the narrative of foreign investment. It's not only the private one, NIPD, Bank of Namibia, Minister of Finance, National Planning, all of you, and the private ones. I'm challenging you to this notion that the Namibian economy can also be built with domestic asset. Look, most of the big malls that we have here, guys, I want to ask you this. They were built with whose money? They were built with GIPF money, isn't it? There is no other institution with a footprint like GIPF. It invests in almost every region and every town. That is supposed to be the best case study for all of you educated researchers and economists and commentators to understand that we can unlock domestic capital. There is no capital deployed like our own retirement saving in this Namibia. The only foreign direct investment dominating here is the one that went into the mines. But the true investment in our people, in our small localities, is our own investment, is our own savings. Then how come you are parading that the foreign investment is more important than the domestic one? Compare the domestic investment, its impact on the Namibian people, and the foreign investment. The foreign investment, majority, I can say 80%, it went to the mining. And how much are we benefiting from the mines apart from employment? And this is not a challenge to the mining company or any hater to you. No. You do whatever you have to do. I don't hate you for that. I'm just stating the fact. If you go in my locality, in any locality, go find what investment is there, which is foreign investment, and how is it benefiting Namibian people? Because we are following so much statistics, but we fail to assess the impact. We fail to assess how much does it come to this person in their locality. By seeing a mall, by seeing a mine being built, and they're like, yeah, foreign investment is the greatest of them all. What happened to my locality where I stay? Where I sleep? What did the foreign investment did for me? For you to say I must keep quiet and not celebrate domestic direct investment, which brought me cooking oil next to me. And I'm challenging you again. In all of you educated people in the and well research institution, I want you to do an assessment. And since the 90s, where did the foreign investment that came in this country go? It went to a wrong region. Straight to a wrong region. So what happened to the people in Zambezi? What happened to the people in Karas? So what should they celebrate? Should you still tell them that there's nothing more important than foreign investment? It's the best. When for the past 33 years, they benefited from domestic direct investment, and you want to tell them that in your laws, in your bylaws, make space for FDI compared to DDI. Then we are not educated and well-researched as we're supposed to, as we claim to be. Because if we truly, truly understand and have assessed that which investment is better for Namibian and have empowered Namibian, we will not say it's FDI. Because from the village where I'm from, I have not benefited from the FDI. No. Not at all. The university that I went to, the college that I went to, was built with domestic money. We did not borrow. Maybe government borrowed to support us, but no. So then when we are evaluating which type of investment do we need and which one should we prioritize in our laws and policies, we should not undermine domestic investment. We should not undermine local entrepreneurs that are doing great work to bring services and to bring product closer to the people. The smaller people who are trying to add value here are not the foreign companies. No, they are local companies. The people trying to make cooking oil, the people trying to add value to Marula, are they foreign companies? No, colleagues, we need to be serious. And I'm saying this. I'm challenging anyone from the private sector to Bank of Namibia, to National Planning Commission. Come and bring your researcher to this program. I'll give you this whole hour to say the foreign direct investment made Namibia better. And when I'm saying better, made Namibian people better compared to domestic direct investment. And as such, in our laws, we should invite more foreign investors to come and take over. And I do not use just to talk in a Windhoek basis, standing in Windhoek. Go also to Karas. Go to Gibeon. Go also to Marindao. And check, okay, is this a foreign investment doing here? Or is it direct domestic investment? So that we don't parade and undermine our entrepreneurs. Because now they are feeling isolated. They are not included in the laws. In your speech, you politician, everywhere you go, we want to facilitate FDI. When are you going to facilitate DDI? When? When are you going to say it clear to them? Beautiful people. And I want to put a disclaimer as I continue. I don't want you to go out there. Eagle FM is anti-investment. Yeah, all have such a narrow mindset, just listening from the surface and go run, go say bad things and about people. No, but we need to be truthful to ourselves. And I'll tell this to everybody, and I keep telling this to everyone, even to young people and even to old people, that I'm never going to say anything bad about China investment in Namibia, in Africa. I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to say anything bad about Canada investment in Africa, in Namibia. I'm never going to say anything to say they are exploiting, they are what. No, I say this all the time. They are very smart and they are taking care of their interest. And I'm never going to be against them or participate in any gathering that say, let us close a mine which is owned by a Chinese or a Canadian. I will never be. I will actually be against it. Because they are taking care of themselves. It's self-interest driven economy, colleagues. And you have agreed to have this structure of your economy. But one thing I will do without shame or without any fear is that I will challenge the black person understanding of the economy. I will challenge you educated people and you people that are in charge of institution and your parade and your narrative of how an African economy should be. That one I'll do it loudly. I'm just not going to join anybody who is against investment which is coming. No, I'm not against. But I'm saying that you are so self-contradictory. You are so not self-aware in so many aspects. You want empowerment. You want redistribution. You want more black ownership. And you are the same person parading to my village to give up my land to a foreign investor. What is wrong with you? Then come, no, we need to empower Namibian. How? If you are disempowering them by removing the land from them, taking the mining license from them, telling them that owning the resources is outdated. Tatalendo, my G. Literally want me to believe that ownership is not important. Amen, my old man. No, 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 no. And actually, yes, I want Tatalendo. I'm going to reach out to him. I want to face him in this program. So he explained to me how ownership is not important. And this is ownership there. No, Tatalendo, here, if anybody closer to you is listening, I'm challenging you to come on this show and tell me, how is ownership not at the center of everything? How, my good old man, how? No. And this is why I'm challenging this thing about capital. And I said it before that everything is centered at the capital. And if we do not find ways to unlock domestic capital, to invest in high-level greenfield projects, let us forget about ownership. And I think that, Alwendo, you are running away from that. If you can unlock a capital, domestic capital, and skills and technology domestically to invest in high level and greenfield project, you will not own anything. And I think that Alwendo, you are running away because you are afraid of that. And I'm talking to you as one of the men that I respect. And Eagle FM also respect you. I think you're one of the ministers that we gave audience. You came in our air, we gave you a platform to speak. I'm also able to speak directly to you to say ownership is everything. And I challenge your notion and your hypothesis in your everything that you say to say, let us not be engulfed or twisted on ownership. We will always be twisted in ownership. Because you cannot tell people, we want to empower you, redistribute, you are disadvantaged, then come back and tell them ownership is not important, guys. Chill. No, Tatalwendo, no. That is self-contradictory. As a policymaker, we wanna facilitate empowerment, redistribution, and leveling the field. Ownership is everything, and it hinges on unlocking domestic capital. Unlocking domestic capital. In your laws and policies that are learned in the mining sector, unlock domestic capital. De-risk it. Project for domestic investment. That is my challenge to you. And if you do that, and you say that you have empowered you and you've created the platform for capital, for local people to access technology, and they have failed, then you can now come and tell me, no, ownership. It's not everything because we have not utilized it. I will agree with you. But if you haven't, from national planning to the mining to the Bank of Namibia, you have not unlocked the capital. You have not empowered domestic people through the whole value chain and link them to the latest technology, then I disagree with you at the highest level. Many of our policymakers have facilitated the foreign investment more than they facilitated domestic capital. Or domestic investment. And if you have done it, come and tell me, come and tell us. But until then, I challenge your notion, I challenge your hypothesis, and I also challenge you to come and tell me here that ownership is not important and we should not be twisted in discussing ownership. I am going to be twisted in discussing ownership without insulting any foreign investor, without stopping any foreign investor. For me, it's about me challenging myself and unlocking my potential and mobilizing my fellow young, my fellow entrepreneurs to take a stand. And also challenging you as one of the long-serving politician and the policymaker to say, can you make the policy? Can you put me at the center of Namibian policies that domestic investment is above everything? And if we put it above everything, we will own the economy, nothing else. Beautiful people. Let us have a conversation, a very uncomfortable one, where we mention names of ourselves, where we are not embarrassed to say Bank of Namibia, where we are not scared to say national planning, where we are not scared to say Tadashimi. You are celebrating, Tadashimi is celebrating the what? the rating. I don't care about the rating. Who is rating you? Which Namibian are rating you, Tadashimi? Do you celebrate when you are rating you, or you are just celebrating the foreign raters? Who are you paying domestically to rate you? It should also bother you. It should also bother every politician when you're celebrating index that say Namibian investment, what? Namibian investment in the mining is rated what? Who are those people? Who are those people? And why are you celebrating? How about how Namibian are rating you? Namibian entrepreneurs are rating you. How? I want you to Tatashimi to go in parliament and say Namibian entrepreneurs have rated us like this. They have rated us like this. I want to hear you saying it and celebrating. And it's been a while I heard a statement from you. The latest one is on the rating. I want you to go back to the same parliamentarian and tell them what the Namibian entrepreneurs are saying about your procurement law. I want you to go and tell them. I want you to go and tell them how they are rating you and celebrate it also. Colleagues, welcome to the business and economic segment. Here we are very, very, very honest to ourselves. We love ourselves. We love our leaders. We love our entrepreneurs. We love our investors, domestic and foreign. But we are challenging our way of building. We are challenging the notion and the narrative that domestic investment does not matter. Local entrepreneurs and local investors do not matter. Ownership does not matter. We are challenging such narratives. We are preparing a proposal to go present it to foreign investors. How about we present them to domestic investors? How about we take them to DBN? We call out at the state level, that the state level, come, you and your team, come and listen to our proposals. We call out all the asset managers and we put them in the same room and we present to them. We can't keep running, going to no way to present our proposals. No. When did we mobilize asset managers and put them in the same room? When did you call all the asset managers in the same room and they presented them the proposal from Namibian Entrepreneur? Tell me when. I want you to answer that question, to say, Kanjengo, we did call them. We sent them this. I want to hear that. Before we go anywhere, let us take care of the domestic savings. Let us present the domestic saving first. That this should be the priority before we go anywhere. Because that is how we will control ownership. I want Mumi Asset Manager to be the one managing a piece of my village. I have no problem. I have no problem. I want them to be the one having 60% inside the Kongoro. I have no problem. I want Aristech. I want Angala Capital. I have no problem. They are mobilizing domestic assets, right? Yes. So me want to go and take the proposal to the asset managers. They have our savings. Because that is how we are going to honor the economy. That is my understanding. And if there is anything else, our ownership will come. I want to hear about it. If there's any other way you're going to own the economy, tell me how. It's through by mobilizing our domestic savings and mobilizing domestic entrepreneurs and researchers and innovators to find the solutions and to buy equity. Beautiful people, welcome to the business and economic segment. I say this is the only hour where we are allowed to give lectures like this. Others are engaging. Take up something and go to early morning school, unpacking the day. Whatever I say here, you can go take it there and challenge me. And it's okay, go correct me. Go say whatever you want about what I've said. It's okay, just do not attack me personally. Yes, it's okay for you to say I'm not educated or woke enough or been exposed enough. It's okay. But challenge my notion here. I call upon the leaders that if you have any contradictory theory or hypothesis or submission, I will give you this platform for free. Beautiful people, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are finding yourself listening to Eagle FM, we are a business-orientated and economic-orientated. We are not any anti-anything, no. We love all you political party and all you aspiring politicians. We just don't like the shallow ones. We just don't like the one that are not Namibian-orientated. I have no quarrel with you. But just do not shame or put Africa or belittle any African entrepreneur. I will also come for you myself. I have no problem doing that. Yes, criticize African leaders. Criticize African entrepreneurs. Criticize Namibian entrepreneurs. Criticize African thinkers like I do. I consider myself as a potential thinker. I'm learning every day. Criticize me, correct me, guide me. But do not belittle my ability to put something at the table and have a conversation. Do not belittle my ability to research and to innovate. Do not belittle my ability to run a company. Yes, we are learning. And if you want me to do better, and if you want African and Namibian to do better, can you empower them? And empowering also comes with a narrative. And the narrative that the foreign investor are better than domestic investor is disempowering. Is destroying the confidence of local entrepreneurs. They are frustrated because you are not putting them first. If you listen to all of you politician statement, which one come first? FDI, we want the foreign direct investment. All of you are just begging and begging and begging instead of unlocking and building confidences among your people. Beautiful people. Let us have an uncomfortable conversation that says, Chinese investor, we appreciate you for coming to do what we are not doing. But it's not because we are not capable. We just have not unlocked ourselves and have not empowered and loved ourselves enough like you love yourself and your people. Do what we have to do because our economy invited you and opened it up self. But do not say we do not like you or we are anti. We need to do a self introspection. We are looking in the mirror. We are questioning ourselves. We are awakening ourselves so that we take over the resources. It's a must. So we own, so we collaborate with you. So we determine how you're going to come and what that only bring the technology, not the skill set. We need to go to such a point because we want ownership. We want the 45% ownership in a certain mine, not 10%, not 5%. No. No, colleagues, no. No. And you too, you know that none in your country, you will not find an African who own 45% in anything. And it's a fact. So we also just want to come at the level where you are to own 50% and to dictate how you're going to come here and what you will do. It's self-love, guys. It's self-love, man. It's nothing about being anti. It's self-love. That is it. It's a rationality, my G. That is it, man. So, colleagues, where you are listening to us, I don't know from where. This is about economic building for an African child. It's about the future. It's about where we are going, where we are heading. Whether you like it, whether it's hard, whether it's making something sound otherwise, we will facilitate this conversation. We will listen to anybody. We will talk to everyone. We will love and appreciate everybody who's doing anything to empower and to build an African economy and maybe an economy that is more inclusive, that is more 60% African and the other percent foreign owned. Because that is self-love. And we are learning it from the European. It's self-love, my G. That is it, man. Everything else is complimentary. So welcome to the business and economic segment. Here I deliver my hypothesis and my suggestion on how we can build an Namibian economy. And today is foreign direct investment, domestic direct investment, local entrepreneurs versus foreign entrepreneurs. Why are we parading foreign entrepreneurs to know better than domestic one? What have we done to unlock the potential of the local entrepreneurs? Have we concluded already that they are not capable? Or we're just driving the narrative, the literature that existed, that they belittled and they never gave the African boy or the African child a chance to build and to learn and to innovate. Beautiful people, what do you say? So my beautiful people, are you comfortable enough to have this hard conversation? Or you are the same people who are telling that the coalition between ANC and EFF will drive away foreign investors? What is your take in that? Like, for somebody who been yearning to own the resources, why don't you like, okay, great. Let them. We have local entrepreneurs, right? We have local capital. Isn't? Because I do not believe that we are so incapable of running, of owning, of innovating. I don't believe that. Just because we have this functional political system and people that we have in power that are enabled and able to get the best out of their people, it doesn't mean we are unable to do entrepreneurship, to add value and get the best out of resources. I do not believe that. Something the Western world and the Chinese have above us is better leadership. That one I will not shy away from saying is they have better political leadership. And that better political leadership is unlocking the best out of their people. That's why their companies are all over the world taking to go build their own economy. So do not say any governmental in Africa, is bad for foreign investors. If it's good for domestic investors, then I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I want the leadership that unlock my potential, that create policies about me, that create policies that unlock domestic saving deployment all over the country, that de-risk project, enable capital to flow to them. I want such type of leadership. I do not care. And I'm saying this proudly and loudly. Guys, I'm always going to choose any policy that is supporting entrepreneur from Zambezi, from Karas, from Hardap, from the grassroots. That is the policy that I want. I'm never going to be supporting policies that parade foreign direct investment. No. If it's going to take us 10 years to develop a mine by ourselves, so be it. We will learn from it. Why do we want to be running and running and running and be fast without learning? Why do we want to catch up with who? No. Let us go through the process. In the process, we will emerge resilient, well-capacitated. So we shouldn't be in a rush to get our resource out of the ground. No. Let us capacitate ourselves. Let us learn. Let us teach. And if we can import the capital, we can also import the technology. We can import technology and we make them better. Or we finally start looking at our universities to come up with the solutions, especially the technological solutions and the engineering solution and the economic solutions. Let our university be playground for solutions to assist our entrepreneurs. So that we look within, so that we give a face to this commentator who was saying, foreign direct investment, domestic direct investment to facilitate ownership. We can't keep losing ownership due to FDI. I grew up in a village where there was no foreign direct investment. And I grew up fine. And most of you grew up fine. How come now when we are 46 and 35, we need more foreign direct investment than we did when we were growing up? In your villages, depending on Omaere, depending on Omutete, depending on spinach, and now all of a sudden you cannot survive without the foreign direct investment. Who are you insulting? You're insulting our ancestors. You are insulting our ancestors by embarrassing yourself that you're not capable to mobilize your own domestic capital. It's embarrassing to the leaders and to everyone who parade. So I wonder from today on, in your speech, you as a leader, I want you to replace the word FDI with the word DDI. I do not want you that the Shim, you that the Khawab, you that the Alwendo, mentioning FDI anywhere. You are belittling our domestic savings. You are belittling our domestic entrepreneurs. And parading the European and the Asian and American investment as the best. You are literally destroying our confidence. Please talk about DDI. And I gave an example earlier that there is no capital well deployed more than domestic saving, and that is GIPF money. And that it should give you something that domestic savings can actually be deployed and develop the Namibian economy. Just fix the environment, empower your entrepreneurs, and create such an ecosystem where entrepreneurs and capital meet and do the best. So, the word is DDI. Tateshimi, the word is DDI. Tatalwendo, the word is DDI. National planning, the word is DDI. Domestic direct investment. Let us deploy it. Let us capacitate our entrepreneurs. Let us empower them. Let us create policies that make them to do whatever needs to be done. Let us import technology. Let us import equipment. And send for training. But guys, please, we should be more about ourselves more than anybody. Where is your self-love? I do not want you to hear parading foreign direct investment anymore. Not because I do not want it to come. No, because I think it's an insult to our ancestors. It's an insult to the Namibian child who is working hard. It's an insult to those that are retiring and saving and availing your capital. It's an insult to Tate Kale who came up with the, who mobilized the 45% domestic asset requirement. It's an insult. Beautiful people, we need to talk. We need to talk confidently, without insulting, without making Canada feel bad for coming here, without making China feel bad. As I said, I respect them, their business acumen, their leadership, and their ability to deploy capital to get whatever they want. That is what we're supposed to do. That is self-love for Canada, for China, for America, for everybody. It's self-love. So where is the Namibian self-love? To deploy domestic capital, to deploy our policies to get what we want from our resources and to own them. And that is domestic direct investment. That is local entrepreneurs. Let us have that hard conversation among ourselves. That's what I'm saying. Anybody who's willing to challenge my hypothesis and my suggestion today, I welcome you. I will sit here with you, or I will let you do your presentation. Welcome to the lecture hall one. This was Kanjengo for you, Eagle FM. Thank you for listening to us via the website. Thank you for downloading our app. And thank you for always tuning on via the traditional radio stereo and listening to us, correcting us, changing your mind, and not going in social media to insult us, because we are just babies. We are learning. For all those that give us positive feedback, we appreciate you. That is how we're going to build Namibia. That's how we're going to build Africa. And with that, colleagues, the Villager newspaper will be out. We are writing on business matters. We are reviewing. We are researching. Partner up with us. Use us. Advertise your product. Advertise your service. Let us be partners. Let us create a synergy in this economic building. And with that, have a very good night. And Uncle Fly, the old tall man with a lot of wisdom, gonna take over now. Engage and build the society that you want.